Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Purdy's given time. Wants it all. Downfield. Pearsall's got it. Ricky Pearsall inside the 25. Biggest play of the day. 45 yards with 2.5 left.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
I think Ricky's about to win over. Like, he's about to become, he got a chance to be a fan favorite. Ricky Pearsall, that was exactly the start that you're hoping for. And again, highest pressure rate of Brock Purdy's career and portions of the game where Ricky is like the only viable wide receiver even on the field. That's what makes that catch so impressive to me. Nobody else, like Kittle's gone, Jennings is gone. Nobody else out there is even getting any looks. And Ricky is able to create a double move and a flip the field catch, and Brock was there to deliver it. That's a hell of a play.
Hell of a play and a great play design to be in that spot where you come out with one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers, and you're able to single him up in that way, all alone on that side of the field, and you get the double move, no safety help. And so, you know, in Brock with the little pump fake that when you're watching it in real time, you don't know what's going on down the field.
Right.
But he pumps and you're like, okay. And then turns out the pump fake was perfect for the double move because the corner bit just enough to allow Ricky to get behind him. 45-yard game changer.
It's Willard and Dibbs live in the Laughing Monk studios. Laughing Monk righteously brewed here in San Francisco. We'll go back to the phones in a sec. I do have to admit this. This was one other thought because I don't know. Did you do the thing yesterday? Did you just sit there and watch it all? Just all of it? Did you do it?
I mean, yeah.
Did you?
Of course not. I've got a 3-year-old.
Oh, damn it.
I was in.
I didn't miss a damn minute.
Yeah, I missed about an hour of the morning wave because, the farmer market.
Oh,
we had to make a farmer's market.
Farmer market. That is, you know,
farmer's
that's
market.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
But
what time does that open, by the way?
It opens at 8:30.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we got
right
there, you know.
Get your act together.
I know, right?
8:31.
I asked
Let's
her.
Let's go.
I asked her if she was going to yak in, and she was reluctant to yak in.
She was.
We had to have a closed door meeting, but I got back in time for the witching hour.
Oh, good.
Which
good.
I love the witching hour.
Yeah, no, I did not miss a damn minute. And then that Sunday night game, I have to admit a thought that crossed my mind as I'm watching Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen just play. That was Madden. That was not a football
totally
game. That was
yep
Madden that they were playing with each other. And you watch that, and it's right after, like, I'm still on the come down from the 49er game, and these two start running around. And I went, you tell me we're supposed to beat one of them?
Totally.
Like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Now, neither one of them has ever been to a Super Bowl, which I don't even understand anymore. One of you has got to go this year, or else I think people are going to start getting fatigued.
Well, I told you already.
You got to go.
Buffalo's going to go, and Buffalo's going to win.
That was your
Super Bowl champ. And
they
I
might
said this weeks ago. We did our thing, and I said whoever wins that game, they're going to win the Super
right,
Bowl, and I'm standing behind it.
And that's fair, but with 5 minutes to go in the game, they look like they were getting their butts handed to them. Like, Lamar and Derek were absolutely unstoppable. Now, it's not going to look like that every week and all of these things. But that's the most Ravens thing I've ever seen. To have those two come out and play that way and have their record be 0-1 is absurd.
Yeah.
So, like, they got – but that was what was going through my head. Niner fans, y'all thinking the same thing? You watched our game, and then you watched that game, and I'm like – we're supposed to beat that?
Sure.
What are we talking? What are we doing?
Let alone beat Kansas City, who you can't beat. And Kansas City's not as good as they normally are, but if they happen to be the team in front of you, yeah, good luck with that. Meanwhile, you're going to have to go play the Rams, and you're going to try to beat them 9-8 because that's what the Rams do, and apparently that's what the Niners are trying to do.
I don't think it's going to look like that all year. I really don't. I think reinforcements are coming. I think the Niners are going to get better, all of that stuff. But, yeah, there might be some grinders here or there. Even though their schedule is weak, there are, like, we always look at a schedule and I think our minds go to offense. There are some good defenses on there, and the Rams are one of them, and the Seahawks are one of them.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why I thought yesterday going in, and I said it last week and the week before, I thought it was going to be a low-scoring game, and that's going to be, I think, much more of the norm this year for the Niners, at least until they get DeMarcus Robinson back, if Ayuk comes back, if Kittle gets healthy, who knows about Juwan, but you look at yesterday, that for me was a classic Shanahan game. 38 minutes of time of possession.
Crazy.
You ran it almost 40 times, and you went out there and you won it the way Shanahan likes.
Let's go to Dylan in Modesto. Hi, Dylan. We appreciate your call, man. What's going on?
To be honest, I didn't like yesterday. Like, I liked the defense, but I didn't really like nothing else. I didn't like the play calls. I didn't like how they really didn't dial up Ricky. They dialed him up at first to start the game, then they didn't get to him to the end. I didn't like Brock's performance. I didn't like Jake Moody's performance and the special teams in general, but that's been a big problem. And then I see that we're rebuilding the team this year, and I see we're rebuilding it kind of the same way as when we had Jimmy. A tough defense and then an unequipped offense. The offense is terrible almost. And it's Kyle Shanahan's play calls too. To be honest.
Dylan, do you like bacon or cheeseburgers?
Mark, what's up? To be honest, I'm just, like I say, I've had season tickets for 10 years. I can see we're building the same team over with Kyle.
No, no,
and when you have this team, he has a good philosophy, but you can't make these mistakes.
No, I understand. No, no, you listen, everybody's entitled to whatever you feel after the game. But 1-0 and a road division win, like, you gotta be happy about something in there, don't you, Dylan?
No, to be honest with you, I'm not, because like I said, I've had season tickets for 12 years, and I'm a professional gambler, and I kind of see the same team as last year.
Well, you know what the Niners
that,
are.
That was a cover.
Yeah, you know the Niners are 1-0 against the spread there, Dylan.
I understand that. I had him yesterday, and my best bet was Ricky over 40 yards and over 3.5 completions.
Well, why aren't you happier, Dylan? You're big winner yesterday. You and the Niners.
But Mr. Mark, like, you know what I mean? Like, Brock almost had 5 interceptions, to be honest.
No, he didn't. I mean, like, you know.
Okay. He had 9 incompletes.
Dylan, thanks.
Thank you, Dylan.
Yeah. And, no, you get to feel
cheer up, Dylan. Feel. Yeah. Cheer up. And just, you know, Fade the Dibber coming up. You can go ahead and pick with me.
Ride the Dibber.
That's right.
Ride the Dibber.
We'll go ahead and give out Mr. Monday Night, they call me.
Yeah, they used to.
Yeah. That might have been again. Somebody else we
yeah,
know.
Yeah, somebody.
Could be.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I look at yesterday, and there are many things you can look at and say, oh, that needs to be better.
Well, of course it does. By the way, did anyone else raise your hand? Forget the Sunday night game, because that was just stupid. I don't
Fun,
know.
Fun, yeah.
That was drunk. That game was so drunk. But around the league, raise your hand if you feel just about, not all of them, just about everybody looked like they were maybe working some kinks out.
Always.
Just about everybody.
Always, did right?
Do you know that the Bengals had 7 yards in the second half?
7 yards.
Seven.
7 yards.
Yards.
You doing your Scott Hansen? 7 yards.
That was 7 yards.
And they won.
And they won because the other team had even more kinks to work out. Like,
well, the other team stinks. They have more stinks to work out.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's a two.
How y'all doing with your fancy number one overall fantasy pick? How'd that taste?
Not great. Jamar Chase, you're talking about?
Yeah.
How about Bijan Robinson? Is that how we're going?
Bijan.
Oh, Bijan.
He was very good.
Eventually.
Well, he had 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I think it was pretty slow going for the majority of that game.
Yeah, big play, though. Yeah, he had a big play. Lucas and I did this in the other room. We went through the whole first round, all 16 picks in our league.
Yeah.
And we were like, so who feels good
God.
And who feels like crap? And there are only a couple people that feel good.
I don't feel great.
I felt like I got Nico Collins.
I had Jamar Chase. Nothing. And I'm sorry, not Jamar Gibbs. Jameer Gibbs. I don't know what's going on with me right now in my head.
Not great.
My brain.
Who
not
are you?
Not great.
Fact,
totally.
Jameer Gibbs. Jameer set a record yesterday. No joke. Are you ready for this? There's so many quirky stats that came out yesterday.
I saw this one, yeah.
That's the lowest amount of yards somebody has ever gotten while getting double-digit catches.
Yep. 10 catches for 28 yards or something.
30 yards.
Yeah. I mean.
But in a point per reception league.
Great.
Don't grade me. You got double-digit points.
Yeah.
I had Nico Collins. He had 3 for 25. Somebody had A.J. Brown. That guy didn't touch the ball until the game was over.
Yeah, right.
There was a bunch of stuff. There was a bunch of disappointments there in round one. And stop shaking your head, Grandy, because my other receiver's name is Emeka Ibuka. Don't you forget his name.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's WR2 in this house. And by the way, I had a bunch of other receivers that I left on the bench. I had Keon Coleman on the damn bench. I'm out here playing Nico Collins like a loser.
Right.
Wrong. I was just wrong. All kinds of wrong. Anyway.
That was wrong.
Three things. And y'all can do this with us, actually. 888-957-9570. Here's the definition of three things. We're going to go back and forth on three observations, things that stood out to us, maybe to a degree beyond the obvious, like a little look ahead. I'm not going to say, Jake Moody stinks. That's not one of my three things. But do you have three things? Or even one thing, or two things. We're going to do our three things, but you can call us and do your three things. 888-957-9570. That is the number. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And oh, by the way, you are the only guest today, because it is a Victory Monday, no matter what Dylan says. 888-957-9570. That is the number on Willard and Dibbs.
I was wrong.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You got to be happy about something in there, don't you, Dylan?
No.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, the YouTube chat and I are checking to see if anybody wants to invite Dylan over for the game this weekend. He sounded like a big old bowl of peaches, didn't he?
He could use a little pick-me-up, maybe.
You got to be happy about something in there, don't you, Dylan?
No.
No.
I know fun when I hear it, and that was fun. I love him. Me and Dylan. Saints, Niners, that's 10 o'clock right. This Sunday.
Come
Let's
on
do
over,
it,
Dylan. It'll be a watch party at Willard's.
It's questionable. Questionable concern.
What?
Nothing made him happy. There's nothing for him to be happy about.
No, he did not have questionable concern. He had for sure concern. I know.
Yeah, he did a limited amount of stuff in practice yesterday.
Christian was not questionable. Can you imagine how stupid this entire exercise was? It's not our fault. It's no one's fault. But if you listen to the radio station on Thursday after 5 o'clock.
Yeah, at the summit.
All day Friday. If I had said to you, I tell you what kind of odds you give me on 31 touches this weekend? I could have made $1 million off of you.
I don't think many people would have taken that bet. Like,
I mean, oh gosh. So funny.
31 touches.
Shout out to David Lombardi. He was the one. I'm like, what do you think this guy's He's like, he's playing.
Yep.
We're like, what? Like, yeah. He's fine. Okay.
He's fine.
And,
yeah.
And he was.
He was fine. He didn't look sluggish. You never saw him limping or favoring either leg. We don't even know which leg is where the calf situation was.
Clue.
Yeah, it was never diagnosed as anything. It was never diagnosed as a calf strain or a calf pull or a calf anything. It just was a calf issue.
I know nobody cares about anybody else's fantasy league or team. I just briefly want to ask you to make an extra selection today. One extra selection, not just Bears and Vikings.
Okay.
One extra selection.
All right.
Because two of the members of our group of four here happen to be battling against one another.
Mm.
And it will come down to tonight. I have exactly, on Mark Grandy, a 3-point lead. It would have been a 4-point lead. But Tyler Loop decided to doink an extra point.
Mm,
but he played well. And so I have a 3-point lead. And I have the young tight end who was a top 15 pick for the Chicago Bears, Colston Loveland, will be playing for your boy tonight. But Mark Grandy will counter with veteran running back for the Minnesota Vikings, Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones versus Colston Loveland in a 3-point lead. Who you got? Who you got?
I got Grandy.
Oh, no.
I got Grandy. I got Aaron
Jones.
Come on,
Diz. Make it 5-0, please.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to try to stay hot. Yeah, I like his ability to be more impactful than, you know, the tight end. And, you know, you're banking on Caleb Williams now, which to me is always risky.
I mean, not really banking on him. He just needs to complete some passes.
Correct.
I don't need him to win a football game.
No, but you need him to throw the ball accurately to your guy.
He did that last year. Sure. Like, DJ Moore caught passes.
Occasionally, I had him last year.
He caught it. You know what I mean? Anyway, all right. Yeah, the app agrees with you. Apparently, Grandy's got a 59% chance to win.
Oh, wow. Okay.
By the way, what's bugging you on Friday? Friday at 2 o'clock, I'll tell you. You want to know what's bugging me? Projections and percentages.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Will you all stop ruining your lives with this stupid thing? Oh, you've got a 2% chance to win. Scores a touchdown. You have a 58% chance. Like, what are we? Stop. Stop with, Yahoo says this player is going to get 11.36, but that player is going to get 11.78. So I got to pay 11.78. That's higher than, what are we doing? Can you stop letting this app run your brain, please?
But you actually kind of leaned on this very thing earlier in the crossover when you said that pass to Tonjes had a, according to Next Gen Stats,
I just thought that was funny.
Had a 14% chance of being completed.
I just thought that was funny.
Right.
I thought it was funny.
It's the same as this, which is nonsense. You can look at, you know, even like exit velocity and, you know, what is the expected batting average on that hit? Well, in this case, the actual batting average on a hit was zero. Because you hit the ball 113 miles an hour and the third baseman caught it. So it doesn't matter what your expected batting average would be or how many ballparks that'd be a home run in. In this moment, it was not. So there you go.
All right. So there you go. So anyway, Granny and I are both hoping for all of your positive energy tonight. If you think that Mark should be spelled with a K, then please root for Colston Loveland. If you think that Mark should be spelled with a C, then go on with your bad self and root for Aaron Jones, you Jordan Mason haters.
Go.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, all right. You want to do three things?
Let's do three things.
Let's do some three things. Grandy, I'm rooting against you tonight, but not until the show's over. So how about a little musical accompaniment, if you please? You want to go first or you want me to go first?
Go ahead and go first. Be the tone setter.
All right, here it is. My first thing, and I'm sorry to say it, but this is how I feel, kind of like Kyle Shanahan in this moment. I don't miss Dre Greenlaw anymore. I really wanted the 49ers to keep him. I was feeling some kind of way about the Niners letting him go. And I'm not saying it's definitive that they were right and I was wrong or any of those things. It's been one football game. But my friends, D. Winters is a baller. That man is really got it dialed. He knows exactly how to play the position. He knows the energy that the position requires. And, oh, by the way, he's younger and healthier. Not that Dre is old, but did you see what Dre did for the Broncos yesterday? Did you see that? He didn't play.
No.
He's hurt again.
Oh, boy.
So I get it. I love Dre Greenlaw. I'll always love Dre Greenlaw. It's super unfortunate what has happened in his career since the moment that the Super Bowl took place a year and a half ago. But we are where we are, and the 49ers have their Dre Greenlaw replacement.
Yes, and he is the shining star in a draft that is mostly forgettable. 2023, Jair Brown, Jake Moody, Cameron Latu, Daryl Luter, Robert Beal. These are people who might still be football players somewhere. Unfortunately, your kicker's still around, but six-round D winners, yeah. He absolutely popped off the screen. I was loving watching him play, and it kind of leads to what my first one will be. And
fire away.
It was my second one, but it's going to be my first one because it plays off of what you're saying. Robert Saleh has this defense playing downhill, and it reminds me of the defense that he used to coordinate where guys are just absolutely flying to the ball. And yesterday, you can count on one hand or maybe even less than that, missed tackles. They were fitting in against the run. And Seattle's got a couple of good running backs, and they were dedicated to running the ball, but the Niners were able to contain that run, and a lot of it was D-winners, as you were saying, but Kalia Davis with a couple up front, Sam Okawanu,
he was really good,
with a forced fumble.
If you like PFF, Sam O, your highest-rated defender yesterday.
Love it, and part of that is because of that forced fumble, but the defense is part bend but don't break, but also part like downhill violence, and that to me was a Robert Saleh fingerprint yesterday.
Okay, you want to go first for round two?
You go ahead, Mark. Okay. You're doing great.
All right.
You're doing a heck of a job over
thanks,
there.
Thanks, Dibs.
Yeah, you're hot. You got it.
The offensive line was troubling. I thought the offensive line was troubling. I don't think that we're in a spot where we need to panic necessarily as of yet, but again, to borrow the stat that I was trumpeting last hour, Brock Purdy faced a 58% pressure rate, 57.9 to be exact, and that is the highest of his career. And that is not a sustainable way to win football games. It changes a little bit my view of the way Purdy played, in fact, because he did not take a lot of sacks. Did he take any sacks?
One.
He took one sack.
Yep.
Well, on a 58% pressure rate, that's fantastic. His feel for movement within the pocket was really good. His receivers were not always available. And so I get why he might force a thing or two, even though they might have been bad decisions. So anyway, back to the bigger point. Trent Williams was not at the level that you would want him to be. I know Pooney was down on the ground at one point. McKivitt's got the extension. From an individual basis, I still think they've got some good players there. But as a collective group, they got outplayed in passing situations yesterday. I would love to see that get better this weekend.
Yeah, it leads me right into my second one, which is the offensive line was better than you think. And by you think, I mean the collective group think. Grandy, I think, I was listening to Overtime yesterday. And if you want to look at the offensive line and how they did running the ball, they were pretty darn good running the football. Now, a lot of those run plays were set up against 8, 9, and even 10-man boxes, which doesn't matter how good your O-line is. You're going to lose that play. They gave up some pressures, absolutely, but in the key moments, this offense was able to convert third downs. They converted half of their third downs on the game. The offensive line had some rough moments, not a ton of penalties. I know Trent had a hold and McKivitz had a false start, but I found on a second watching of the game that the offensive line was actually better than I had initially thought.
Well, it's a fair kind of angle to take on this whole thing. In watching the game, it wasn't that I thought they were awful. But Brock was running for his life a whole lot, and they were not able to complete balls to wide receivers very often, which is usually the tell for a good offense to a great one. Like, there are actually a handful of quarterbacks in this league. They can complete the ball on checkdowns. They can complete the ball to the tight end who's, like, standing right over there 7 yards away. Can you get your wide receivers involved? That's what the great ones can do, and Brock had a hard time with that yesterday. Part of that is the receiver core being so banged up.
Right.
Part of that is also the pressure rate was too great, and therefore there just wasn't always a lot of time to go for those downfield strikes.
They had a few, and the double move to Ricky Pearsall was obviously well blocked to allow Brock to have that much time to pump fake and then fire to Pearsall. And you know, the Tonjes one for the touchdown, the game winner, that was a full-on scramble play, so things had broken down. I think Trent got beat on the left side of that play as well, but I just look at 38 minutes of time of possession, and the majority of their run plays garnered positive yards, and third and long, they were able to protect on those and convert, so a little bit inconsistent, but I found, watching it again, that the O-line was better than many people are giving them credit for.
I mean, they definitely ran the ball better than their counterparts did. Kenneth Walker was totally and completely bottled up in this football game. Okay, round three for me, three things right here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. And this one is, I hate saying it, I really do.
You don't hate it, otherwise you wouldn't do it.
No, but I feel it. I do hate it, but I feel it.
Just say it.
Juwan Jennings made a bad bet. He made a bad bet. And I say that not knowing what the numbers were that the 49ers put in front of them. But if they did offer a multi-year extension, I'm sure it was at a number that a 975-yard receiver would scoff at. He would be like, what are you talking about? You got receivers out here. You make 1,000 yards. Come on, man. We're making $26 million a year. Ain't you heard? But the bottom line is Juwan, that was very circumstantial last year. It was not going to repeat itself. You're opening yourself up to injury. And when the only added money that you get is incentive money, what happens when you miss a bunch of games, which I think is about to happen? It's super easy on the back end of this to look back and say you made a bad bet. However, I didn't love it to begin with. I didn't realize when he took the incentive package that a multi-year deal had been put on the table. I would love to know what that number was.
Yep.
But I'll tell you this, Juwan, if it was higher than $15 million a year, you made the wrong choice. You were not going to put those numbers up for the 49ers again, and now you're really not going to put those numbers up for the 49ers again.
And when you hit free agency at the end of the year, you're not in a great spot to go out there, if you miss a bunch of games, to go out there and get more than what you could have gotten. So, yeah, that's a tough one to say, but you've always talked about, like, you know, the guaranteed money and get your money while you can. And whatever the number was, I don't know how much the guarantee would have been, but I would bet that he was in line to get more money than what he got in this one-year deal. My third thing, and, you know, 888-957-9570 if you disagree, but I thought yesterday was a Shanahan masterclass. At the end of the first half, he might have gotten a little conservative. Grandy was making this point on overtime, trying to go down and settle for the field goal, knowing you'd get the ball back. Well, the field goal missed, and so that kind of blew up in his face a little bit. But in the second half, especially after he lost Kittle in the second quarter, the way he used his personnel groups, he used a lot of Juszczyk, and he put him out there on the line as an extra tight end. He went to a lot of two tight end sets. He did what he had to do with the personnel he had. And ultimately, yeah, you gave McCaffrey the ball a lot more than what fans would want, but he gave CMC the ball left and right. He threw it to him to the left, to the right. I thought the way Shanahan called the game, considering who he had remaining on his team, I thought it was a genius game for him to call and to get the win in that fashion.
Well, I'll give him this. It was a really tough game to call. I don't know if everything, you know, it kind of hits me. Sorry to go back to Downer Dillon, who called in a short time ago.
Mm.
But when people are like, why don't you dial up Pearsall more? That's not how you don't dial people up. Every play has multiple options. You have no idea when a play is executed or not. Who was option 1, 2, 3, 4? Or if Brock Purdy just takes off and then starts to try to make something out of nothing. So it's not a video game. Kyle does not have a little controller in his hand. So remove that. And what I would say is you end up in a football game on the road. You end up in a grinder against a really good defense. You end up with George Kittle going out. You would then end up with Juwan Jennings going out. You were already very shorthanded at that position. And you at least have some sort of nervousness, I would guess, in the back of your mind about Christian McCaffrey. And I just think you end up with an offense that's going out there and it does not have the options that it would normally have. It does not have as many sort of, you know, pieces of silverware in the drawer as what you're used to. And you're right. They found a way to make it work anyway. So deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. And they did dial up Pearsall, quote unquote, and that was the intended target on his second interception. So it's not like Pearsall was just completely neglected. He had four catches, he had seven targets, and one of the ones he didn't catch was an interception. So I just look at the way Shanahan went about it, and so much in the second half especially was two tight ends and two running backs, which means just one receiver. And a lot of that was Pearsall, and a lot of that was just to run the ball. You brought in Farrell and Tongis. You had Juszczyk and usually CMC, sometimes Robinson, and you just set about to run the ball. And that second drive they had was about 13 plays, total domination, and then the field goal gets blocked. So if you're Shanahan, you're thinking,
oh, yeah,
this is what we do. Like, they went from their own 25 all the way down to the 18, fourth and two. They converted a fourth down, which, by the way, they converted two fourth downs on the game. Shanahan did, you know, Captain Conservative. But I just thought that he was very much in his bag with a bag that was not Gucci. That thing was more like a plastic bag from the grocery store. He didn't have he was down a couple of big-time weapons.
All right, three things, and we'll go to the phones, back to the phones here in just a sec. 888-957-9570, but as we had told you, Kyle Shanahan's conference call was at 3:30, so that started 7 minutes ago, and Grandy apparently has a George Kittle update. What do we got there, Mark?
Yeah, Shanahan is speaking right now. He has said that George Kittle's hamstring injury will likely cost him, quote, a few weeks. That is the early indication. A few weeks, is the word from Kyle Shanahan. Also, Brock Purdy has a left shoulder and toe injury that make him uncertain for Sunday's game in New Orleans.
Whoa.
Kyle Shanahan also said that. So the team will see how the practice week goes with
Brock
Purdy.
Left shoulder and toe that make him uncertain for Sunday. Huh.
Brock Purdy.
Brock.
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
Left shoulder and a toe. Okay.
And then Juwan Jennings, they're still evaluating the shoulder. He said, quote, the MRI was good, but waiting on the CT scan.
Okay, that's awesome. I don't know. Okay, MRI, CT, what are you, Dr. Dibbs, what are we looking for?
That's... MRI would indicate something that is torn, such as a labrum. Okay. I tore my labrum in my left shoulder, and when you look at the MRI, the labrum holds your shoulder basically together. And
that's what I was worried about on this one.
And when that thing is torn, your shoulder will dislocate at the very presence of raising your arm, and I think the CT scan is more about, you know, the bones and maybe nerves as well to see if there's something else that's in there that's causing him that that level of discomfort.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he was not able to lift his arm up at all during the fourth quarter and then after the game yesterday. So I was absolutely fearing the worst with Juwan. That's kind of interesting that they're kicking the can down the road a little bit here, because I the way I look at these, and I don't know, so maybe I'm wrong on this, but we've talked to enough doctors and team doctors that I'm always of the belief, like, y'all know what's going on a lot quicker than you let on. Like, it's incredible to learn how much those doctors know right there in that blue tent. Like, right there in that blue tent. You know what I mean? Like, I've talked to doctors who are like, you want to diagnose a torn ACL? Takes 3 seconds. Yep, it's gone.
That's an easy one.
I like it, but
they
then
grab your thigh, they grab
MRI,
your shin, and they go, whoop, yeah, whoop, oh, it's gone.
We got to wait for tomorrow. We got an MRI. We got to. It's like, no, they know.
They know.
So I don't know what they know right now about Juwan, but I guess that's a good start.
Great start.
That's a good start. But they also signed Kendrick Bourne already. Also,
yes,
which would suggest they're a little concerned about it. Or they hated what they saw from some of the other fill-ins. I don't know.
That's all possible. And when you're looking at this, and you use the expression a lot about, like, survivor, wide receiver survivor, yes, it's basically what this is. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, so new, no targets. And Russell Gage from the practice squad, no targets. Sky Moore, please don't throw him the ball, no targets. So, yeah, as you look forward, you're going to need to have a little bit more from a wide receiver standpoint, because you can't just run two tight ends and or two running backs all game, every game. You can't give McCaffrey 31 touches a week.
We're going to play Kyle Shanahan's comments a little bit later, once everybody can gather it together. But further updates. So you heard Grandy say George Kittle, probably going to cost him a few weeks. Juwan Jennings, still evaluating. MRI was good. They're going for CT. Purdy dealing with a left shoulder and toe. We'll see how the week progresses. The toe is more serious than the shoulder. Okay? No reports of anything on Trent Williams. So he is good to go. Here's the biggie. Y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
On the kicking situation, quote, we're looking into all of that now. And did mention the word tryouts.
He did mention it.
Yeah. So once again, I'll go back to the crossover. He did not give Jake the vote of confidence that I feel the internet feels he did.
Well, he gave him a vote of confidence on that day.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's how he took it. He played a semantics game, and nobody knew that's what he was doing. Is there any doubt he's your kicker now? No. No, I was just out there. He's our kicker.
Right.
Ask me again tomorrow.
And they did.
And they got a different answer, didn't they?
And the answer today was maybe there's going to be tryouts.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So 888-957-9570. That is the number. Let's react a little bit more to what Kyle just said. We'll take more of your phone calls, and we can dive a little further into this Jake Moody thing. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got to be delicate with those calves. I'm not a doctor, so.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so what do you think? We'll hear exactly what Kyle said about how long you need, Grandy. What do you need?
I don't know. Lucas is in the back getting it ready.
4:15?
Probably. Okay. I think that's a safe bet.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So what do you think? What stands out here? I mean, The banger is the Purdy injury.
Shoulder and toe, and the toe is worse than the shoulder.
The toe is more serious. And
it's the left shoulder, non-throwing shoulder, right. And the toe. I don't recall him like looking gimpy or moving slowly.
No, the last play of the game for him, he squirted out to the right, yep. And you know, did an off-schedule thing. And I'd have a hard time believing that that a left shoulder is going to keep him out. But Grandy, did you say did he actually say the game is in doubt? The quote I'm seeing is, we'll see how the week progresses. Did he insinuate that Brock Purdy could miss the game?
I mean, it seems like, right?
Okay.
He's injured. He's not fully ready.
Dealing with a left shoulder and toe, the toe's more serious. Quote, we'll see how the week progresses.
That to me sounds like right now it's in doubt. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
I guess it's semantics, but yeah, the idea is we'll see how it progresses, I mean, doesn't that mean that there's no guarantee he's going to play?
I mean, I guess. It could also just mean he's talking about, you know, the plans for the week with regard to practice and whatnot. And again, it's an injury, so Kyle's not going to, like, think about the semantics games that we've just played in the last 3 or 4 days. We have a semantics game with Jake Moody. Is there any doubt that he's your kicker? No, there's no doubt. But now...
Well, right now.
Right now.
The question, yeah.
Right now. Why is he your kicker? Well, because you asked me if there's any doubt if he's my kicker right now. And I just saw him. So, yes, he's still the kicker.
I just saw him literally kicking moments ago.
Semantics game.
Shanahan also added this, according to Matt Barrows on Twitter. He said it's a possibility that they'll have to sign another QB this week to be the backup. He said it hinges on how Brock's toe and shoulder progress in the next 24 hours.
Okay, so that does suggest that there is concern about actual missed time.
So if it's 24 hours from now and he's not doing a whole lot better, they may have to sign a QB to come in and be the backup to the quarterback that Shanahan has had his eyes on forever.
Is this happening?
Mac Jones.
Are we doing this
possibly
already? Are we already going to get a Mac Jones game? Good God.
I mean,
and you know how this is going to go too, don't you?
He's going to go
ahead. They're going to win 41-6 because they're playing one of the worst teams in the league. And we're going to be, oh, Mac Jones, wait a minute. Woo, you paid the wrong guy. Like, God, give me a break.
And if they only would have taken Mac Jones back then at 12 and not traded those two firsts, they might have a couple of Lombardis by now, Mark. Vic Tafer,
yep.
No decision for George Kittle on IR yet.
Not yet.
They're hoping he's out less than 4 weeks.
They're hoping.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if it was going to be 4 or more, they would have put him on IR, designated to return, but they're hoping that it's not going to be quite that long.
You only get a couple of those a year, the designated to return guys, so you got to be careful with them. But yeah, hopefully it's less than that, but even just that quote alone sounds like you can eliminate this weekend's game. You can eliminate the home opener against the Saints for sure. I mean, against the Cardinals. And then what's week four? Is that Jags here?
Yep. Yep. And then it's Rams.
And is the Rams on a Thursday?
Correct. On a short week.
So it gets here quick.
Yep.
But yeah, it sounds like you're targeting, like, the best case scenario would be the Jags game. Hopefully the Rams game, but that's only 4 days later.
Well, okay. As we know with these hamstrings and groins and whatnot, the only thing you can do is to do nothing. You get treatment and you get the stem and you can stretch it and all the rest of it. But these types of injuries, you got to just shut it down. And if you're George Kittle, who is an omnidirectional player, you need to have force as a blocker. You need to be able to run fast and move and twist. You can't play through something like this.
No. Okay. So George Kittle is going to miss some time. All of a sudden, there's a Purdy situation, and that's TBD over the next 24 hours. Juwan Jennings, if you're just joining us, still being evaluated. MRA came back good, but now they're waiting for a CT scan. So no update there on missed time. Hard to believe he'd be ready anytime soon with how much pain he was in, though, yesterday. Trent Williams, good to go. And, quote, we're looking into all that now with regard to the kicking situation. I love Kyle. We're looking into that now. Oh, did you just get to it? Yeah, we're going to sit down and watch some film. What do you need to see? He came into yesterday's game 11 for his last 21 and then doinked a 27-yarder.
Mm. Doinker.
You, by the way, I know you hate this word today. You got lucky that that didn't cost you the game. A lot of other people deserve credit for the fact that that didn't cost you a game. But you go on the road in the division, play a grinder, absolutely gag 6 points, and then find yourselves with 3:30 to go down by three with the ball in your hands. And somebody who's had one target thrown to him his entire life
right.
steps in front of a defensive back and wins the game for you. Use whatever words you want, but the 49ers ought to feel incredibly fortunate that Jake Moody, who advertised that he was going to cost you a game, didn't cost you the game. Very fortunate.
And he was not alone. The blocked field goal is not on him.
That's correct.
You know, he might have come up and stepped up and drilled that one. They might have protected the kick, and he might have missed it anyway. Who knows? But what happened is what happened. And so for Kyle Shanahan, I do think you take a day, and you take a deep breath, and you look around, and you go, okay, that was not what we want from Jake Moody. What do we do about it? And also, you look around the league, and you mentioned this earlier. I don't have all the names of all the kickers who miss kicks, but kicking was not great yesterday.
No, it wasn't
so
great.
My point, though, Mark, is if other teams are going to be out there sniffing around for a replacement kicker, you may want to be ahead of the curve.
I don't think that will happen, but it was not lost on all 49er fans that the guy who kicked all the balls through the upright for the Bills last night, including the game winner, was on the street a week and a half ago.
Right.
And their kicker, Tyler Bass, went on IR. But by the way, he's going to come back. And then what's going to happen with Matt Prater? So maybe you want to look at Matt Prater. Greg Joseph is available and has been working out. Mayoko called him the other day. Hey, Greg, you still ready? Yup, I'm ready. Okay, so that's an option because he looked good in camp when he was in there, and he's a veteran. And there are always a bunch of kickers on the street. I love what Richard Sherman said about this today. Richard Sherman's podcast last night, and this is what I want to echo. I'm kind of done fighting about it. I'm more now on the quest to understand. Explain it to me like I'm a child. Explain to me why you still want, if you're Kyle Shanahan, why? Why do you still want Jake Moody on this team? He drives you nuts, Kyle.
They all drive him nuts.
Your face is contorting and changing colors on a daily basis because of this guy. He made the special teams coach take a walk in a preseason game 3 weeks ago. Like, he needed to meditate. I need to understand. Someone explain to me what naked pictures this guy's got, because I don't get it. I don't understand why the Niners seemingly want to continue to sign up for this aggravation.
Because you know what that is, right? That they've signed up for.
It's an aggravation sensation.
No doubt. No doubt. And they are not completely pot committed, but they've committed, whether it's the draft pick. I think that that whole idea of, man, we used a third round pick and therefore we have to hold on to him, I think that that's now gone by the boards.
Agreed.
I think that's no longer a part of it. But if you are Shanahan and you talk to your special teams coach and you look at the kicker, he does have a big leg. He has the ability to kick the ball a long way, and he's made some big kicks in the past. We all focus on the misses. And so if you're Shanahan, you look at the whole thing in totality. And I do also believe that you look at the second half of last year when he came back from the injury, and you realize that he was a kicker dealing with an injury. So you go ahead and file that under maybe just injury, and you hope that he can be better this year. And so far, through one game, that was not a very good statement for Jake Moody to make. Even the one field goal he did make kind of snuck in there. It was a little bit of a block, and you know this as a golfer, and you don't often go through this, I don't think. I know I never do, where you have what they call a two-way miss, where normally I hit the ball, the golf ball, and it goes to the right 95% of the time. I almost never hit it and it goes left. Yeah. Jake Moody right now has a two-way miss. He's missing left, and he's blocking them right, and they're not missing. So that becomes, for me, the bigger issue, where if you're a kicker or you're a golfer and you're going through the two-way miss and you don't know, like
it's
aim right and it goes right.
I totally have that.
Yeah.
I can just as easily hook one as slice one or whatever.
That's really disconcerting.
Greg Joseph in his career, because you keep bringing up the big leg, he is 17 for 30 in his career from beyond 50 yards.
Greg Joseph. Okay.
The player who was in camp with the 49ers. He is only 30 years old.
17 for 30 is not great anymore.
From 50 plus?
I mean, I'm sure that's it's okay.
It's not terrible. He's only tried, gosh, he was with a bunch of teams last year. He was with three different teams last year, and he only tried two and made one from beyond 50 yards. But, you know, go back to age 27, 2021 with the Minnesota Vikings. He was 7-9 from beyond 50 yards. Mixed bag, but you're right. The 50-yard field goal is, like, not a big deal anymore.
Yep.
And Minnesota played in a dome, you know, so that
Moody,
like,
is 6 of 12 in his career.
Okay.
On 50-plus. Okay. So, I mean, similar percentages. Greg Joseph slightly better.
A little bit better.
17 for 30, slightly better than 50%, but just to give some perspective on the Moody correlation.
I guess my point is the big leg, if you're only kicking 50% of them, you can find somebody else to do that who maybe also makes better than 50% of the ones that are inside of 30 yards, for crying out loud. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.